Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are going to study the doctrine of unconditional election. Unconditional election is a doctrine, one of the points of the doctrine of Calvinism. Now, TULIP, T-U-L-I-P, is the acrostic for the 5 points of Calvinism, which says basically that Jesus died for only the saved, and they have already been elected to salvation, while the damned have no way to be saved. They couldn't be saved if they wanted to, because Christ didn't die for them, and they're too depraved to come to him on their own. The T in TULIP stands for total depravity. The U in TULIP stands for unconditional election. The L in TULIP stands for limited atonement. The I in TULIP stands for irresistible grace, and the P in TULIP stands for the perseverance of the saints. So, as taught by the Calvinists, unconditional election is the doctrine that says God chose from before the foundation of the world whom he would save and whom he would damn, regardless of whether they want to be saved or not. In other words, he chose them or elected them without any conditions of their own, not based on their desire to receive Jesus Christ or, you know, any desire for eternal life. There are no conditions. God made the choice. Well, by studying the scriptures, we're going to find out that election is never, listen, unto salvation. Election is never unto salvation. When a person is elected, he is elected to rule or hold an office. That is, he is elected to reign. He is never elected to be saved. I'll show you. Jesus is elect. Turn to Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. Jesus Christ is elect. Isaiah 42 and verse 1. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." And then you read down and it's a description of some things in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, mine elect. Now, in Isaiah 42:1, we find the first occurrence of the word elect. And it is a reference to Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? Jesus Christ certainly did not have to be saved. Do you understand? If election is to salvation, it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. So, obviously then, his election could not apply to salvation. What did it apply to? It applies to his reign. He was elected to rule. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. Matthew 2:2 tells us he was born King of the Jews. But you know what happened? He was rejected by the Jews. And as a result, he is not ruling on earth at this time. He will rule when he returns, but he's not ruling here right now. So you know what he is? Listen. He is Jesus elect. In the same sense that the person elected to be president of the United States of America is president-elect between the time of his election or her election and the time of his inauguration or her inauguration. Jesus-elect, because he has already been appointed. He is the King of the Jews. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he does not have his rule in the earth in the throne of David in Jerusalem yet. He will. So he's Jesus-elect, just like president-elect. All right. Now we're going to turn to Isaiah chapter 45 and look at verse 4, and we're going to look at the second mention of the word elect. And this time it is a reference to Israel. So Jesus is elect and Israel is elect. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. All right. Obviously, in Isaiah chapter 45 verse 4, elect is a reference to Israel. Why? Because Israel has been elected to rule. When do they rule? They rule when Jesus Christ rules. Let's look at a few examples. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49 and look at verses 22 and 23. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. You know what he's showing you in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 22 and 23? Israel becomes the ruling nation of the world. Turn to Isaiah chapter 60 and look at verses 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 11 and 12. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought. Now this is a reference to Israel in the context. Now watch it. Verse 12. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. One more time, Zechariah chapter 14, Zechariah chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. You know, what you're reading in these passages, you're reading references to Israel as the Lord's elect, ruling as the preeminent nation in the world once Jesus Christ returns to this earth and rules from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Now read all the context of Zechariah chapter 14 when you check this out on your own, and you will see that Jesus Christ is here. He is the Lord in verse 9, and he is king over all the earth. Now look at verse 16. It shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's Jesus Christ, and every nation is going to Jerusalem, that came up against Jerusalem, is going to go to Jerusalem to worship him. Verse 17, it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt shall not go up and come not that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to the feast to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So what do you have? You have Jesus Christ ruling in Jerusalem and Israel as the elect nation, the ruling nation. Now listen. Just because Israel is elect does not mean that all Jews are saved. Why? Because election is not to salvation. Take Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, for instance, in Numbers chapter 16. They were Jews, and they perished. Dathan and Abiram and all their households were swallowed up in the earth, and Korah and all his men were burned in a fire. The rich man in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31, the one who wouldn't give Lazarus the crumbs that fell from his table, the rich man was a Jew, and he died. And instead of going to Abraham's bosom like Lazarus did, he wound up in hell. You remember, Jesus Christ came to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, he tells the Syrophoenician woman, I have not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, if they're elect and elect is to salvation, then how in the world were they lost? The Bible says he came to save that which was lost in Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. If election were to salvation, these Jews would not have been lost, and the ones that ended up in hell would not have ended up in hell. Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, look at Isaiah chapter 65. And in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 9, there's a reference to the word elect, and notice what it says. Isaiah 65, 9, I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Well, let's read the context. Mine elect shall inherit it, my servants shall dwell there. Let's read the context of Isaiah chapter 65, verse 9, where you find the reference to the word elect. And the context is in verses 8 through 12. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. So will I do for my servants' sakes, that I may not destroy them all. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. And Sharon shall be a fold of flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for the herds to lie down in, for my people that have sought me. But ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for that troop, and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Now, do you see what's going on here? The elect inherit God's mountains in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 9, but there are some who don't inherit these mountains. And you know why they don't inherit these mountains? Because they are the ones who chose not to answer when the Lord called. I called and you didn't answer. You see it? They chose instead to prepare a table for that troop instead of for the Lord, a drink offering unto that number instead of unto the Lord. They were not unconditionally elected to damnation. They chose not to respond. And as a result, they miss the benefits of their election. They're elect, but they don't get it because they refuse the one who called. Jesus is elect. Israel is elect. And notice this, Christians, those of us who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, are elect. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. 2 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. You know what? You and I are elect. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are elect. And he says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why, if that were to salvation, there would be no need for you to do that. But if it has to do with a rule, then definitely you would have a reason to make your election sure. You know what it means? It means that you and I, if you're saved, are going to rule with Jesus Christ when he rules. And that's true. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 8 through 10, you read about the church age saints that are gathered around the throne of God. And verse 10 says, hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and watch it, we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 1, 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Look at Luke chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, you have the parable of the pounds. And in that parable, everybody starts out with 1 pound. And they are told to occupy till I come. Well, one man takes the pound and gains 10 pounds in verse 16. And you know what he receives as a result? Jesus Christ says in verse 17, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. He rules over 10 cities. The next one comes, he made 5 pounds with his 1 pound, and you know what he gets? He gets to be over 5 cities. Do you understand? Election has to do with a reign or a rule with Jesus Christ when he is ruling here in the earth. So election is not to salvation. Election is to reign. Now, the man that hid his pound in a napkin in Luke chapter 19, verse 20, you know what he lost? He lost the pound and he lost his reign. Well then, as he lost his reign, even so we can also lose our reign. That's why Peter said, to make your calling and election sure. Listen, there were many Jews who could have reigned with the Lord because of the election, but they lost their opportunity. You say, name one. All right, how about Judas Iscariot? In Matthew chapter 19, when Jesus Christ answered Peter's question concerning, we have forsaken all and what shall we have, Jesus Christ replied to Peter and to the disciples, and here's what he said. Matthew 19:28, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You know who was in that audience when Jesus Christ spoke those words? Judas Iscariot. But Judas Iscariot lost his opportunity to reign when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize Jesus Christ could have missed his opportunity to reign, even though he had been elected, if he had bowed down and worshiped the devil in the wilderness? That's right. In Matthew chapter 4, in verses 8 through 10, the devil offered Jesus Christ an opportunity to bow down and worship him. And he said, if you do that, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Do you realize Jesus Christ is mine elect according to God? But when the devil made that offer, if Jesus Christ had taken him up on that thing, he would have lost his reign. That's why Peter said, you have to make your election sure. You say, well, how do I do that? Here's what you need to do. You can lose your opportunity to reign if you fail to do these two things. One, get a return on your pound. The one you read in there in Luke chapter 19. You need to get a return on your pound. And you need to give diligence to things in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the Lord wants you to do. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The context of making your election sure is to do the things Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Do you see it? Do that. And God's given you a pound, and he expects you to work for him now that you're saved, in order that you will have authority over, as these men that had a return on their pound, 5 cities or 10 cities or whatever the case may be. You're going to face him at the judgment seat of Christ, and the outcome of that judgment has everything in the world to do with what you do or allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do through you after you get saved. Another way you can lose your opportunity to reign is if you fail to suffer with Jesus. If you want to reign with Jesus, you need to suffer with him. That's what the Bible says. 2 Timothy chapter 2 says this in verse 11. All right, verse 10 for the context. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's not that they may be saved, but that they obtain the salvation with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he'll deny us. So you suffer with him to reign. Romans 8:17, which we looked at concerning our adoption. He says to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, if we're children, then we're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Condition, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You're going to reign with him and be a joint heir with him if you suffer with him. And this isn't self-imposed suffering, but it's enduring that which comes along with being saved. Suffering the reproach of Christ, 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 14, denying worldly lusts, Titus 2:12. The disciples' reign was conditioned upon forsaking all and following Jesus, which is the context of Matthew 19:28. So you can lose your opportunity to reign if you fail to suffer with Jesus or fail to get a return on your pound. You can also lose your opportunity to reign if you do any of the following. If you deny Jesus, you lose your opportunity to reign. Just like he showed us in 2 Timothy 2:12, and also what he shows us in Matthew 10:33. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The Lord said, I'm not going to give him a reign. He wouldn't stand up for me there. So now that it's time to dole out a rain, I'm not going to stand up for him here. Not on that aspect. Saved, but he's not going to reign. You can lose your reign if you wish Godspeed to a heretic. Look at 2 John verses 7 through 11. You know, these Jehovah's Witnesses and those Mormons that come around like that? There are Christians today that think those guys are doing a good work. But John says, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. And one other thing you can do to lose your reign is you can commit the sins of Ephesians 5:5, Galatians 5:19-21, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Ephesians 5:5, Galatians 5:19-21, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. In every one of those contexts, the Lord says the same thing. If you do those things, you do not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. That is, that when he's doling out inheritances, you lose yours because you spent it up on the sins that you did down here. Now, you can see from the scripture that election is about a reign and never about salvation. Any person who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ desiring to be saved will be saved. And all that are saved are elected to reign with him. Under certain circumstances, like you've seen in this lesson, you can forfeit that reign since it is not unconditional. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.